Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Wonderfully made. So when you wake up in the mirror and you look in the when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, How do you see yourself? Do you say, I'm kind of average, or I'm not bad, or maybe I'm above average, or I'm beautiful, or I really can't even look at myself today? How do you feel about that? You are God's divine creation. You're in his image, and you're God's unique design. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. But only Jesus is not only a physical likeness of God, but he's also has God's character. So he's the only one in the world that not only has his image, but also his character. It says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I put mad by mistake, fearfully and wonderfully mad. Maybe some of us are. But anyway, fearfully and wonderfully made, your works are wonderful. I know that full well, and that is Psalms 139:14. We are actually the clearest and brightest image of God. Evolutionary biology will say that we are just a glorified ape. So if we're an animal, we can just live however we want. But that's not how it is. Science still confirms that we humans are very different and unique. Only we can create and understand art, for instance. I love to do art. I love to paint. I love to draw. And when I'm in that, there's a book that's called Flow. And when you're doing something that you love and you just get caught up in the creativity of it and you can do it all day and it doesn't matter if you're getting paid or you're not getting paid, that's called flow. And only humans have that. We can make moral judgments, and we can recognize wrongdoing and seek redemption. Animals can't do that. Since I've been speaking, 1.5 gallons of blood has passed through your heart, and we could talk all day about the amazing human body, the intricacies of every little tiny part of our body. God has made us amazing. God places a very high value on our bodies, as well as our hearts. In Psalms 8:5, it says that we are a little lower than the heavenly beings, but capable of being the crown of honor and glory. And God, through Jesus, gave his own body, his total person, in full, the full image of God inside and out, so we can be eternally reconciled to God. So the next time you look in the mirror, see yourself as God does, fearfully and wonderfully made, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, Matthew 22:37. And now I'm going to turn it over to Tammy Salt, and she is going to do Chapter 4 of Lioness Arising with Lisa Bevere.
Hello, everybody. Hello. I'm actually going to do something a little different today. I'm going to give you kind of a overview of Chapter 4, the first part of it, to bring you up to speed, and then I'm going to have different people from our studio audience banter with me about specific areas. So to bring you up to speed, Lisa starts this chapter telling us that she was in Australia, and one of the ministers that she was speaking with likened her to the first Sarah Connor of the Terminator. When she got back to the States, she decided to look Sarah Connor up and see what she looked like because she was buff. This was the comparison, was the buffness. Getting all excited, she decided to call Gold's Gym on the spur of a moment and go in there and show this guy, you know, her buffness, and have him just kind of tune up a few little things because she didn't have far to go. She was in good shape, and she already had the buffness going because, I mean, Australia thought that anyway. So she goes through a series of physical tests and finds out that she is not buff. She is in serious need of strength training. In the process of humiliation that Lisa went through, she made the coupling that she didn't need to lose weight, but she needed to gain strength. She was considered affectionately skinny fat. Her fat content was way, way higher than somebody 2-3 times her size. So she went on a little quest on getting in shape and gaining strength. Well, with that in mind, she likened that to a Christian. How many Christians out there are skinny fat? They're too busy doing stuff, but they really have no strength. They have no strength to bear the weight of maybe somebody in need or anything else. And this is where this brings us to. I'm going to ask Lisa to come up and sit in our hot seat today. And I'm going to read part of this chapter under People Invincible. And then I'm going to just dialogue with you about it.
Okay.
After this encounter, we're talking about the gym, Lisa began to wonder how many of us are skinny fat, not physically, but spiritually. We look trim, but if too much weight is added to our lives, we cannot bear it. We do okay walking on flat surfaces or comfortable pace, but life is not a treadmill that we can control. We are on a path with God, and I sense the incline speed increasing. Why have I shared this with you? Because I believe the body of Christ is on a verge of total body makeover and invincible uprising. But this idea isn't mine alone. God says, on your feet, daughter of Zion, be threshed of chaff, be refined of dross. I'm remaking you into a people invincible. Micah 4:13. Lisa, when you hear that verse, what comes to mind to you? You're a good one to ask because I don't know what half those words are.
I know. I mean,
so chaff and dross. What are those?
Well, chaff is the leftover part of the wheat, isn't it? I think when you thresh the wheat out, the chaff is the shell, the hard outer shell, the part you can't eat.
Okay.
So, and in order to get to that, you have to be kind of beaten out and squeezed.
Okay.
And then I'm not sure what dross is, but I would think maybe it has something to do with the graining part of it.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that he's just basically saying, you know, stand up, be moldable, and go out and, you know, feed the sheep, basically. I mean, it's hard to say because you're comparing it to wheat.
Right.
You know, it's a non-movable force.
After years of being in church and hearing numerous sermons, is it safe to say that God, over the course of our Bible, has been telling us that we need to be able to handle a beating because, A, we make choices that put us in a beating's path, and I want to make it clear, God does not do that to us. He allows us to make that choice, and then he has us learn from it, and he uses it in our ministry. For, you know, he says, well, you did it, so let's use it.
Right?
Absolutely. And so I feel like that's exactly where this is going, too. He's saying, look, you will be beaten down. You will be, which I'm glad you said that about the chaff. Be threshed of chaff. So, in other words, get rid of the excess, what isn't necessary, the hard outer thing. And one of the things that Lisa said, and I don't know if it was early in the chapter, but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. She said, don't hold on to that pain of the past. Don't hold on to that cumbersomeness because it's stopping you from moving forward. How do you feel if you were counseling somebody that had been through a serious situation, how would you tell them to move forward from this point using this verse or this content and the strength training that we're talking about?
It's always helpful when you have an experience to fall back on. So my most threshing experience would probably be all our miscarriages that Vernon and I had. So we had 10 in all with no live birth together. But I was able to get past that disappointment and still work with children and be happy when other people have kids and not have that as a withdrawal. So for me, being able to share that hurt and even anger at God and then that progression of getting past that and then going back into children ministry with my husband and I actually, you know, of course, work with the Bible Clubhouse, which is 5 years old through fifth grade. So,
you really
a lot
have
of ages and then still embracing those kids. Which, thank goodness, because that's like Vern's only children besides his grandchildren.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Notice in this verse that God didn't say invisible. He said invincible. His daughters are to have presence of might on this earth. How long has it been since you felt invincible?
Invincible?
Invincible.
I don't think I ever feel totally invincible. I always feel like I need to have God's support and love and protection.
Do you feel invincible with his support?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I could resist anything, but only through prayer.
And
not by myself.
Good. Well, thank you.
I'm too emotional otherwise.
Thank you, Lisa, for coming up.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
Your input. Thank you. All right. Next, perhaps it was a long, long ago when we ran and played as a little girl. You are not meant to hide in the dark and hope for an escape. You are meant to be a bearer of light and hope. You are meant to be unbeatable, unconquerable, unshakable daughter of Zion. Even now I hear, rise up, daughter, find your feet again. God wants you to be invincible. And I call our next guest, Karen, to come to the hot seat. Rise up, daughter, find your feet again. God wants you to be invincible. I think this is a great verse for you as well. I'm going to read the verse coming ahead. More often than not, we develop spiritual strength from times of threshing and refining, as we discussed with Lisa. Micah 4 helps us to understand that this weight-bearing workout might look like. God will give you new life again. He'll redeem you from your enemies. But for right now, they're ganged up against you. Many godless people saying, kick her while she's down, violate her. We want to see Zion grovel in the dirt. These blasphemers have no idea what God is thinking and doing in this. They don't know that this is the making of God's people, and they are wheat being threshed, gold being refined, verses 10 through 12. How does that verse make you feel?
Well, I've also gone through a lot in the last year, and I have depended on God to get me through it, not only physical, mentally, my family. I have so many between me and my husband, we have 4 kids and 10 grandkids, and I deal with their lives, the choices that they've made for themselves.
Right.
And I just have to keep believing in God and what he says to us, the promise that he gives us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Just today, I said to the Lord, how can I keep asking for something? It's the same thing. It's almost like God would be tired of hearing the same thing. But, you know, it's those things that make you stronger in God.
Exactly.
And you have to, I remember a time where I just got down on my knees and I said, Lord, you can have it all, everything. I don't care anymore. Please save me my marriage. That was the only thing. And my marriage is stronger now than it has ever been. But my husband gave his heart to the Lord, and so now we have that foundation that we build upon.
Through this threshing and you've been very open in this class, and I believe many times on the air, about the serious hardship you've taken on since you became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Just serious attacks to you and that you've been you've been emotionally moved. But just a little bit ago, you were sitting there and you said, since I started reading this book, I talked to everybody. Isn't that funny how it literally, like in this verse, it was those thrashings. He's turning in a beautiful piece of molded gold called Karen. And Karen has a voice.
Karen has a big voice.
Yes,
Karen has
does.
A big voice.
I
love the promise that this passage makes. When you're down, when it seems your enemies are closing in for the kill, God is at work, refining you as gold. God uses hardship as a catalyst for making his people pure, precious, and sustainable. Because when you're having your down times, your children, your friends, your family are watching you and how you handle that,
mm-hmm.
and what God does with your resolve. Now, a lot of the things that you lost during this time were things that you gained when you were not a Christian.
Yes.
Is the Orion... ironicity lost on you?
The what?
Ironic.
Ironic.
Irony.
Irony.
Irony. Thank you. The irony lost on you. That something that you gained.
Well, what I've gained is so much more than what I've lost.
Exactly.
I mean, we lost our home. We lost our income. We lived in a travel trailer. We were talking divorce. We lost everything, our motorhome, our boat, snowmobiles, all our toys, they're all gone. But yet, now I'm so much more complete on the inside. God has given me a peace. I don't sit there and go, oh, well, I've lost my house and now we're living in this other... That's not what I do.
Right.
I sit there and I even look at my friends today, and it's a smaller circle than what I had before, but I thank God every single day. I don't listen to any kind of music but Christian music, and it's not because I don't think that is all bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when I and I don't have a good voice, but I'm in the church choir, and it has really built something up in me. Not that you know, like I'm not going to go sing solo or anything,
right.
But it's what I want.
Right.
What I have now is worth so much more.
Well, your needs
than
and desires have changed.
Yes.
And they're fulfilled.
Yes. I have a home that I'm living in. My husband is safe. I pray every day for my kids to be saved. I have a daughter that's on drugs and is living on the streets down in Seattle. And I, before I go to bed, she's always the last thing I think of. And when I wake up, she's always the first thing I think of. And I pray for her every single day. But yet, I have a peace in my heart.
That's awesome.
Because I know God doesn't make promises he does not keep.
That's true.
And so I have been really blessed on the inside to be able to turn that over.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Sometimes when the media or individuals criticize Christians, there's a bit of truth in what they say. We should meet these critiques with humility and evaluate them to assess what is true in them. And I really liked that statement. When she said it at first, I was thinking, well, if somebody's, you know, that a non-Christian is critiquing me, why would I listen to that? I'll tell you why you would listen to that, because they're not always wrong. I had something brought to my attention not long ago, and I had to, as a Christian, I had to address it that they were right. And I actually had to handle it with appreciation that it was pointed out. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, thank God. But if I were perfect, I would not need God. But I do, because I'm not. So it is now on the flip side of that, some things that are said of Christians or to you personally are harsh and judgmental or unloving, rather than rejecting them, you know, take an assessment through the Bible and look at those comments through God's word and see if any of them ring true. And if they do, make the moves you need to make a change, because you are God to a lot of people. Not meaning that you are God, but you are just like I am the company I work for.
Jesus is flesh on.
Exactly. We are representation of him, what we do, what we say, how we act. And if somebody that is a non-believer or a non-Christian is looking at you and they say, well, you're a Christian, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You need to evaluate that and you need to answer it. And maybe the answer is because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And maybe it's, you know what, good point. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Not only that, if you're a Christian, you have other Christians on you. Like, if you have children in minor Christmas case, or if you're a pastor and you have little children looking on you, like my kids, if the pastor is Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. We found that out. You know, children, yeah, they're blessed, bless their hearts. There are outrageous accusations of our enemies, the devil. And the time he attacks our outright lies, such as when our Lord is blasphemed. Other times, his attacks are pure evil, such as when God's children are told to denounce their Lord or be put to death. Imagine being even having that. And I was thinking about it when I was listening to her to talk about this, and I was thinking, wow. You know, and I'm being honest here. This is being very, very honest. I could die in a heartbeat for my children and my grandchildren. And I believe with all my heart that I would die for the Lord. But really think about it. Really, really think about it. It's you and only you. Nobody else in your family is going to be affected if you say the right thing. Really think about it. Really think about it. And it brings me to thought, I think it was the Columbine shooting, wasn't
yeah.
it? A young lady, the kid that had the gun had said,
Amish people.
Amish. Okay, well, it was a school shooting, I know that. And this young lady was asked to denounce the Lord, and she would live, and she didn't. And I thought, you know what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for her, because she made such a statement for such a young girl. I think she was about Rayanne's age, wasn't she? I mean, praise the Lord. So with this next section, I'm going to ask Jeanette to come on up with us. And I'm going to read this portion, and then I'm going to ask your opinion. We see this illustrated in the book of Revelation. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the blood, or I'm sorry, and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. As I read Micah 4:13, it was as though I heard God yell, "Enough! You thought you had destroyed my people, but you haven't. Instead, you've prepared them. Israel is our example. When the Israelites strayed, their enemies rose in strength against them, and the hardship worked as a refining in their lives. And just when the enemies imagined they had won, God revealed his people and remade triumphant." Jeanette, when you think of times that you've been refined, so you've been beaten down by choices that you've made or choices other people have made that have affected you in a painful way, when you think about that and how you've come out on the end because of giving it to Christ or working through it with the Lord, tell me how powerful you feel knowing that God is standing there saying, "Enough. You think you've got Jeanette? Well, what you've done has only made her stronger."
Well, with me, it just seems like everybody around me that aren't Christians, I try to talk to them about knowing the Lord, and they go, "I don't want to hear it." Or I said, "Well, you know what? I don't care if you don't want to hear it. I'm going to speak out and tell you about him anyway."
Mm-hmm.
And I've invited a few people to church, and they haven't come yet, but there will be a time where they will come.
Mm-hmm. And you know why they'll come? Because they see the example in you.
Yep. And I'm not going to keep bugging them about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to keep bugging them about it. They'll come when they want to come.
Perfect.
Tell them what church I went to, and I said, "If you want to come, come on a Sunday morning or whatever, hear me sing or whatever, you can come."
Good. Do you feel like when you have a hard time, something hard in your life, that you gather strength from God?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you find yourself praying a lot harder? And
yep. Especially with my son being being disabled like he is,
mm-hmm.
being autistic like he is. It's really hard because everybody doesn't know what it's like to raise an autistic son. It's very hard in
yeah.
my lifetime.
It is hard.
And I've been put down for it and put down for it, and you know, try. I said, "Okay, I'll let you have them for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in my shoes for a change."
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him back within a half hour. I said, "No, he's too much for me." I said, "Well, then who's calling the kettle black?"
Right. Well, I think that you're a great example. That. Thank you for coming up. We are going to actually close with a song, but we would like to say a prayer real quick, and then we'll move on in the studio audience. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for all of our ladies here in this room and the ladies and gentlemen that are listening in on the radio here, and we appreciate the ability to discuss the power that you give your lionesses and those around us in the what we can do with this. I ask, Lord, that you guide us and really speak to our souls and give us the ability to look at the threshing as a refining. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and amen.
You're listening to The Sound.